And I promise you that what I present to you today, most of it will be completely in line and in truth. Maybe I don't have the full revelation sometimes of what I do minister, but what I teach you, I guarantee you, I'm headed in the right direction. Why? Because I'm accountable as a teacher of God's word. I promise you that I at least go through it 50 times before I present it to you. At least 50 times going over the same subject over and over and over again. The preacher better know to live it. And then once the best preacher in the world, the most effective preacher is one that lives not out of what he knows or downloads out of, but out of how he lives. He or she lives. So saying that, I want to share something with you today. I'm not going to keep you long. I don't preach that long. I don't have that many words. But I'm going to teach you a little something today about the flesh and about the spirit out of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. And we're going to intermingle a little bit. If you got the answer to something, you can answer it today. In the beginning, then towards the end, I'm going to start really teaching on what I want to minister to you about. And we're going to start in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. And I could start before this, but I just want to I want to set a foundation here. And I beg you to pay attention to me carefully. Verse 19 says, now the works of the flesh are evident. When I say the works of the flesh, what am I making reference to? The works of what? Alex. The Apostle Alex did not answer that question. Now the works of the flesh are evident. When he says when the works of the flesh are evident, what is he making reference to in context? The works of an unregenerate man, one that is not born again. These, he said, the works of the flesh, and that's fine that he didn't know me and Alex is joking around. We work together all the time. We're always laughing and cracking. We have a blast. But the works of an unregenerate man, the works of one that is not born again. So when you hear me minister the word flesh here, I make a reference to what? A man that's what? Or a woman that's not what? Born again. So he said, listen to what he says here. And this goes along with what Pastor's been teaching. This is why society in general most wants nothing to do. You tell somebody, I've been very effective in the workplace. I pride myself on when a customer calls irate, mad, I pride myself on taking that phone call and making it what, Alex? A positive out of a negative. I live by that. I pride myself in sales. Almost 99, this is not a lie, 99.9% of the people that I deal with, they usually sign on the dotted line. They wanted me, Americans wanted me to go in the sales department a while back, but it would have me travel more. It would have been a lot more money, but I said, no, I don't want to be away from my family. Not that I have a gift to sell, but I like to think that I have integrity to sell, and I can look at a person. But sometimes you run into somebody where you're trying to close a deal and you break out the pen and they know what you expect from them. They know I want them to sign on the line. And they say to me, well, why should I trust you over Ferrellgas? I said, well, sir, I don't know if this means anything to you or not, but I answer to a higher power. I answer to the Lord Jesus Christ. you Christians, you're all the same. So I just usually cut the conversation off about then. But this is why society wants nothing to do with a believer in Jesus Christ. We're mocked. Not everybody in general. But the consensus laughs at us. They laugh at us. Listen to what the writer says. Now the works of the flesh, or the works of a what? Unregenerate person, a person not born again, a person that does not know Jesus. Listen to me. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They're seen. Here we go. Which are what? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath or anger, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, evil murders, drunkenness. How you say that? Revelries, what is it? Revelries, partying, right? That's what that means. Revelries of the like, of which I tell you beforehand. Listen to this now, listen to this. I beg you, listen to this. Just as I've told you in times past that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now that scripture used to scare me. It used to scare me because I used to read it. The last part used to scare me. Listen to this where it says that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So I would think to myself, oh my God. Fornications, adultery, hatred, contentions, selfish ambition, dissensions, murders, drunkenness, roveries. And in other epistles, it says other things. I said, my God, I got some of this junk in my life. What does that mean, Lord? I'm trying my best, Jesus. I'm reading my Bible. I'm doing what I can. But now you're telling me through your word, apparently, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But see, that's the key. That's where I thank God that I'm taught right by the Holy Spirit. So you take that scripture, and a lot of people think it's talking to a believer. Well, baby, I've committed fornication. I've been a drunkard. I've been involved in partying as a Christian. I've been involved with hatred and strife. But you got to know one. You left out one important element out of what's being taught right there. He's talking to who? He said, but you're not. He said, but now the works of the what? Flesh. When I make reference to the flesh, we're talking about a person that's what? Okay, so is he talking to me and you there in context? No, he's not talking. See, that's the part I didn't know, because it said those who practice such things. The word practice means is a word habitual. So how do you know if you're born again or you're not born again? He said, if you practice these things, these are what unregenerate, non-born again people, this is their lifestyle. Well, then you put yourself in that category and you say, my God, will I do some of these things? Are you trying to tell me, Lord, that I'm not going to inherit heaven? No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying the works of a person that's not born again, this is how they live. And if you habitually live like this, if you believe you're a believer, I can't judge where you're at with God. I can, but I don't know where the line is where one goes back into darkness. But what I can tell you is this. It says those who practice fornication, those who practice adultery, those who practice being a drunkard. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, if you, listen to this. Now, this is going to sound a little comical here. If you commit adultery, and I'm going in order, if you commit fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, if you're full of sin, in a nutshell, if you do these things habitually, if you practice these things habitually, what do you mean by habitually? If you do these things like you change your underwear, my friend, you're not born again. If it's a consistent, everyday thing, either you're on your way out of the kingdom or you have never been born again. There's no way that a born-again believer can habitually walk in this filth. He says, now the works of the flesh, the works of an unregenerate person is this. And he listed what unbelievers do. He listed it. He showed me in you word upon word that people that are not born again live this way habitually. It is common to them. It is a lifestyle. He said those that live like this habitually have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. Who's one that has no inheritance in God's kingdom? One that's what? Not what? Born again. You're born again. Filled with the Holy Ghost. You know better than this. These are the works of the flesh. Now, he stated and he wrote what the works of the flesh were. Before I stated that, before I read that portion of scripture to you, I said, this is why society wants nothing to do with the church. Why would I make such a statement? Because the church does exactly of what was just stated and written in Galatians 5. It's a mockery sometimes. The church is a mockery. Because our lifestyle is that of what we're not supposed to do. We do the things that we used to do. And we raise up our hands and pledge allegiance to the Lamb of God. But he said the works of the flesh, the works of an unregenerate person, they're evident. We're not sons of the flesh. We're not people that walk in the flesh because we have been born again. We walk in the what? Spirit. We don't walk in the flesh. Our lifestyle isn't what I just read to you, or it should not be. Though sometimes we fall short and we commit the very things that we know we shouldn't do, but it should never be habitual. And there's never a legitimate excuse. The Bible says that the things listed have no dominion over me and you. They have no power over me and you. If I'm born again, and if I don't walk in the flesh, then the things I just read have no dominion over me. So if they have no power over me, and I do the thing that has no power over me, why did I do it? You know the answer. Come on. Why did I do it? Because I wanted to. Because I wanted to. Now, I like what Pastor Bronk said this morning, and I said it last week. God will walk through hell and back with you as you're trying to overcome this damnable thing that seems to have you. But at the same token, he told the woman caught in adultery, an unregenerate woman, he didn't say go read Romans. He didn't say go read the Psalms. He didn't say read 1 John 100 times and come back and don't commit adultery no more. What did he tell her? Woman, go and sin no more. See, these things that I just read to you, inspired of the Holy Spirit and written by Paul, these things don't have power over me and you. That power was broken the day that me and you bowed our heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. So if it don't have power over me, then I don't have to give into it. I give into it because I don't quite want to let it go yet. It's never Satan's fault. Our worst enemy is ourself because we do the things that we know we shouldn't do. Sometimes we can just grit our teeth and stand firm until mortification comes. We can grit our teeth and say, no, I'm not going to give in. I'm not going to give in. I'm not. And that's fine. That's commendable. That's righteousness. But there is a time and there is a day in your life where that thing that seems to have you now, there is a time and there is a place in God that we have to find where that thing won't torment you no more. Well, it'll just go away. Not with time, but through persistency and praying in the Holy Spirit and transforming your mind, renewing your mind with God's word. He said the works of the flesh, they're evident. And he listed the things that people that are not born again do. He listed them word for word. And he went on. In verse 22, he said, but he listed the things of the flesh, people that were not what? Born again. Then he listed the things of the spirit. He said, but the fruit of a person that's not born again is what? What I just stated, right? That's the fruit of people that are not born again. This is how they live, Paul said. They're full of fornication. They're full of adultery. They're full of hatred. They're lewd, lascivious. Galatians, Ephesians, Colossians states different things that people that are not born again walk in. Homosexuality, they walk in these things. This is what he says, and he changes things over. He said, but the fruit of the Spirit. Now he's talking to who? Born again. But now he's talking to me, to Ovi, to Renee, to Aston, to everybody. He's talking to me and you. He says, this is what you used to be. You used to fornicate and it didn't bother you. You used to commit adultery and it didn't bother you. You used to be a drunkard and it didn't bother you. You used to have hate and it didn't bother you. He said, but now you used to be a son of the flesh, or you used to walk in the flesh, but the moment you gave your life to Jesus Christ, those passions that you had when you were not born again, you've crucified them. You've put them to death. He said, but now the fruit of the Spirit, now that me and you are born again, this is what he's called me and you to walk in. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. When I was not born again, I thought it was so funny to get my 20-some-year-old daughter drunk. I would put beer in her bottle. I would watch her drink her bottle and walk all over the house falling down. When I was not born again, I used to snort cocaine like it was going out of style. I used to drink at least a six-pack every single day, and it did not bother me. It didn't bother me. That was my nature. I had a sin nature in me. That's all I knew, and it did not, and I was pretty darn good at it, as I'm sure some of you were good at it. The works of the flesh were evident in my life. I was addicted to pornography, big time. I hated white people, completely hated them. I thought every white person in the world was racist. Boy, was I an idiot. Now my pastor's a redneck. Go figure. Racist? Our head intercessor's white. My mentor's white. But Jesus is a Mexican, so I take comfort in that. My pastor, I was racist as could be. I had uncles, my dad's brothers. Some of them, one of them was in the street gang and killed somebody. They were crazy. And I idolized their lifestyle because to me, every white person in the world was garbage. Was I an idiot? Alex says, yes, you were. Yes, you were. Leave white people alone. I heard what you said, Alex. I can read your mind. Alex, like this sermon. The works of the flesh were evident in me. I remember, aren't we raised a little bit as Hispanics to almost dislike white people somewhat? Aren't we somewhat, Meme? Yeah, he says, yeah, we're sort of are. Boy, was I an idiot. My pastor hunts hogs, shoots deer and eats them. How much more in love with a white person can I be? The works of the flesh were evident in my life. Miller Lite. On occasion when I had the money, the white stuff. Didn't love my wife. She didn't love me. It didn't matter. It was evident. The things that I liked. And they did not faze me. They did not faze me. When I did them, I did them. And I did them well. The works of the flesh, the works of an unregenerate man, they were evident. This is what I did. Now, you have your own stuff that you did when you weren't born again. That's your business. I'm just letting you know what the works of the flesh were in my life because I want to teach you something. But then, without reading the Bible, without knowing the Bible, without knowing the Holy Spirit, without knowing how to worship, I give my life to Jesus Christ 20-something years ago. All of a sudden, the works of the flesh that were evident in my life when I was not born again, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I bowed my heart and said, Lord Jesus, you are the Son of God. All of a sudden, something changed in my life. No one taught me. When I got born again, I was not taught. No one taught me. Or no one told me to throw away about 60 perverted CDs that I had. No one told me that looking at pornography was wrong. No one told me that I could do the things that I used to do and they were wrong. All of a sudden there was a shift, a change inside of my heart. Immediate change. Because I didn't go to church and I knew that Dr. Dre and Cobra and Snoop, they all had to go in the garbage. All of them. And then a love and a compassion immediately when I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I loved my wife again. I wanted my marriage to work because I was no longer a son or no longer walked in the flesh, but I walked as a man with a brand new born again spirit. He said, But the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now I'm working on some of these right along with you, but I know this is how me and you are to live. But the fruit of the Spirit is love. joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Listen to this. And those who are Christ, or those that are what? If I'm Christ, then I'm what? He said, but those that are Christ have crucified the flesh. But those that are Christ have crucified the flesh. But those that have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior have crucified the flesh. And if I'm Christ, then the fruit, then I'm a young man, or I'm a young man. Thank you, Homer. But if I'm Christ, if you're Christ, then that qualifies me to walk in the what? According to what I'm teaching you. In the Spirit, little s. So I'm qualified now to walk in the Spirit. And if I'm qualified because I belong to Jesus to walk in the Spirit, that means I'm born again, then the fruit that I'm to walk in is what? Love, joy. Come on, help me. Long-suffering. Come on, Renee, go ahead. Against such there is no law. Now, listen here. I'm almost there. And those who are Christ, everybody here that's Christ, that belongs to Christ, is born again. We walk in the Spirit. There's a brand new Spirit inside of me and you that dispenses righteousness. The old man that was in us dispensed sin. Now the new man in us, it dispenses righteousness. And if we're Christ, we've crucified the flesh. Now we're going to go back. I'm going to tell you what we've crucified. What do you think he's making reference to? If he says, if you are Christ, then you have crucified the flesh. What flesh have I crucified in context to what I'm teaching you now? What's that? And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Guys, it's so simple. You got to know what we're taught. The verse before gives meaning to what? To the verse after. This is what he's saying. And those who are Christ, if you're born again, if you know Jesus, raise your hand. Those that are Christ, put my glasses back on, have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I read to you the first verse that I read was, now the works of the flesh. I read word for word what the works of the flesh were. Now a little bit down it says, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh. So in context, what have I crucified? The what? The works of the flesh, which are what? Read it, Renee. Say, stand up and read it. Stand up and read it. Read it loud. Hold on. Stand right there. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. This is what I have put to death. This is what has been crucified. Read it, Renee. Okay. He said, in other words, now, have Christians that are legitimately born again ever committed some of the things labeled before? Yes. Yes, he has. That's where the blood of Jesus comes in. We're blessed. See, Christians, we're not perfect. We're just forgiven. We're just flat out forgiven. But we don't have to do the things that he listed. Why? Because we've crucified those passions. We have the power. I never, ever, ever, and I never have to commit adultery on my wife. Well, Pastor Homer, you know I'm weak in that area. Apparently so. I never have to fornicate. I never have to get drunk. I never have to be full of hatred. Why? Because I'm not a person that walks in the flesh. I'm one that walks in the Spirit. The things that used to hold me, they've been crucified. The passions and the love for them, positionally, I don't have to do it. Why? Because I have been born again. I belong to Jesus Christ. I walk in the Spirit now. I never, ever, ever, ever have to walk in the things that I've been set free from. If I walk in the things that I have been set free from, then I did it because I chose to. we are believers in one Lord and one God. We've crucified those passions. The old man has been put to death. We, me and you, no longer have to walk in that filth. Well, Pastor Omar, I've slipped up. Remember what I said, that he's talking to people that are not born again. He said, if you do this, if you practice this lifestyle habitually, Pastor Omar, I messed up. He's not talking to you. He's talking to an unregenerate person that does this with no conviction in his heart. I know people that have slipped up, that are Christians that I know are born again. I said, well, did you ask Jesus to forgive you? Yes, I did. There you go. But if we claim to be believers in Jesus Christ, we do not habitually do the things that are listed. If you habitually do them, my friend, if you say you're born again and adultery doesn't seem wrong to you, my friend, either your conscience is very weak or you are not born again. Because if we say yes to Jesus Christ, we have dominion over the things that are listed. We've been crucified with Christ. Those passions, those things that used to torment us and dominate us, they no longer have the power to dominate us anymore. We have to be different. There has to be a separation. There has to be a differential. There has to be. There has to be a differential. There has to be a differential. There has to be a space between a believer and an unbeliever. There has to be space. Winding up. But the fruit of a born-again believer is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Listen to this. If we live in the Spirit, how many of you live in the Spirit? How many of you are born again in here? You're qualified. This is you. He's talking to me and you right now. If we live in the Spirit, or if we're born again, let us also walk in the Spirit. I read to you the evident fruit of a person that was not born again. Now I'm going to read to you the evident fruit of a person that is born again. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, if we're born again, let us also walk in the Spirit. How do I walk in the Spirit? By doing the things he just listed before. If you're born again, you live in the Spirit, my friend. And if you live in the Spirit, he says, let us that belong to Christ, let us that are born again, Holy Ghost filled, let us that have crucified the flesh, let us that no longer live in the flesh, let us that live in the Spirit, let us live in the Spirit. How do I live in the Spirit? How do I live in the Spirit? By walking in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, and those who are Christ, that's us, man. That's us. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Those who are Christ don't walk in adultery. Those who are Christ don't walk in fornication. Those who are Christ don't walk in uncleanness. Those who are Christ don't walk in lewdness. Those who are Christ don't walk in idolatry. Those who are Christ don't walk in sorcery and hatred and contentions and jealousies and outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries. We don't walk. Why? Because those passions have been put to death in our life. Now we are sons of God. We've gone from unrighteousness to righteousness, from darkness to light. Now we walk in the things of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, that's us, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Well, some of you might say it would be unfair. I'm closing up now. Some of you might say, well, Pastor Homer, I believe what you're saying because you read it. Don't believe it because I said it. Believe it because the Bible said it. Now, we have power over those things because we've died to them. The old sin nature that was inside of us is dead. But I'm here to help you. I'm not here to judge you. You might say to yourself, well, Pastor Homer, there's things in my life that I just can't seem to shake. When I do it, Pastor Homer, it just bothers me. I can't even look up to heaven. I feel so dirty and polluted. This thing has bound me. This thing has tormented me. Well, yes and no. Sometimes you don't let go of stuff because you just don't want to, because you still enjoy it a little bit. Well, I got news for you. And it's good news. The very fact that you can say that about that stronghold lets me know that you somewhat want out of it. See, Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, he's not in heaven with a legal pad and a pen writing down your error. Instead, he gives you a prayer language. He gives you the Holy Spirit. He gives you this word that's holy and undefiled, according to Psalms 18, that can rearrange your thinking, renews your mind. Read those areas. If you struggle in certain things, if you got a struggle in your life and you don't know what to read to saturate your mind to help you get out of that struggle, text me, call me. I'll tell you what to read to help you renew your mindset, thinking you can't overcome that damnable thing. Guys, this word is powerful. It's powerful. We got to think like Jesus thinks. We got to renew our old thought process. There's things that I might have mentioned that I know some of you are Christians that you're struggling with. The lust of, you're not doing the things that I said you didn't have to do, but part of you wants to go with it. That's okay. It's not okay, but I got help for you. And his name is the Holy Spirit. If you just sit there under a tree, wherever you're at, and pray in your language and spend hours, or let me rephrase, or spend time reading the Bible, those things that you feel you can't shake, they will go away. Only you cannot, don't develop the mentality that you're completely defeated to the very thing that has you. Whether it is whatever I listed or whatever, or whether it is what you're struggling with. Don't ever get into the mindset that you're in bondage to this for the rest of your life and that you will continue to do it because you can't shake it. Do something about it. Do something about it. Pour his word into your soul. Transform your thought process. Like the little choo-choo train. I think I can. Put this word in you, man. Lift up your hands even in failure. Say, Lord Jesus, I fail my Lord because I chose to. Sin's power, sin's dominion was broken over me the day that I gave my life to you, Jesus. Cleanse me of this filth, Father. I thank you for tomorrow. There's a time of renewing, a time of edification, a time of exhortation, a time of comfort, Lord. Tomorrow, I'll commit 15 minutes to you, Lord, because I'm tired of this junk that seems to consume me. There's hope, my friends, even in your weakness. There's hope even in your weakness. And his name is Jesus Christ, and his name is the Holy Spirit. And he gives us this word that's pure and the purest of gold, to change you, mold you, and mend you into the image of one man, and his name is Jesus Christ. We're no longer sons of darkness or sons of light. We're no longer unrighteous. Even if you got three or four of these things that I stated in your life, if you're born again, you're struggling to overcome these things, you're still declared righteous in the eyes of God. You've gone from unrighteousness to righteousness, from sons of darkness to sons of light. Even if you don't feel it, it doesn't mean that this word is wrong, because you don't feel it. This word is holy. It's undefiled. It's pure than the purest of gold. It doesn't need to be refined. It is perfect in every aspect. It is perfect. And if this word is holy and perfect and pure than the purest of gold with no error, imagine what this perfect book, with this perfect instruction, imagine what this beautiful 66 love books that are written here, imagine if you can transfer this perfection from there to here. Perfection in, nothing in, nothing out. Filth in, filth out. My friends, we can do something about our circumstance. We can do something about it if you want to. He's not mad at you. I'm not mad at you, but I'm providing you help. I'm providing you the answer to our weakness. And it is God's holy, holy, undefiled word. It is a prayer language, praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, that will change you forever. Forever. Growing up with Mexican pride my whole life, that the man is always right and the wife better shut her mouth and stay her butt in that kitchen. Boy, was I an idiot. Boy, was I wrong. Grew up thinking every white person was racist. I hated white people with a passion. I hated them with a passion. Boy, was I an idiot. Have a hard time loving Renee now, but man, I'm just playing. What changed you? What changed you? Well, immediately, the power of the rebirth changed me. Then I just started adding layers of layers upon his word into my soul. The sky's the limit with Jesus Christ, my friends. It is the absolute limit. It's nonstop. The transformation that comes from God's word, the renewing of the mind, it's never ceasing. The more you want of Jesus, the more you can have. It's up to you. Yes, I agree with you to an extent. Well, Pastor Homer, God's not after time. Well, let me put it to you in layman's terms. You can, 5 minutes is commendable. God bless you. If 5 minutes can change you, imagine what an hour can do for you. If an hour can change you, imagine what 2 hours can do for you. If 2 hours can change, well, imagine what 4 hours, you get my point. Well, if you're born again and you've been born again for 5, 6, 7, 8 years and you're still doing 5 minutes, God bless you. God bless you. You'll get there eventually when you're about 200. You're going to get there in the mortification. You're going to get there. You will. Eventually you will. But I don't like myself sometimes. When I didn't like people, well, one thing about me, I like being honest. I don't like to be touched. I don't like nobody hugging me. I got to get that out of me. I don't like nobody hugging me. I don't like nobody telling me they love me. I mean, but that's going to go. That's called a stronghold. I don't like it. That's wrong on my part. I mean, I'm wrong. And Alex knows I'm honest with him. I mean, I talk to him all the time. But I'm getting over it. The more I spend time in that and praying in tongues, I'm going to get rid of myself eventually. By the time I'm too old, I'll get rid of myself. But when I really hated people, being born again, I knew enough after I heard The Walk in the Spirit by Pastor Dave Robertson. I was real stubborn. If Ashley did something to me that I didn't like, I didn't just take an offense. I knew enough to read the book of Romans that it wasn't Ashton's fault that I was miserable. It wasn't her fault that she made. I don't care what anybody does to you. It's never their fault that you got mad. Never. But you don't know. It's not their fault that you got mad. You got mad because you had the capacity to get mad. If anybody had an excuse, it would be Jesus, wouldn't he? But he never had an excuse. If my wife leaves me today for another man, and I walk away from church and I renounce my pulpit, I go back into drinking, I go back into snorting cocaine, guess what? It hurt, but it was not her fault. I left my walk with Christ because I chose to. It is never, ever, ever, never, ever, ever, never anybody else's fault. Never. When? Never. Never anybody's fault. But when I would get mad at somebody, I would literally go lay down and pray in tongues for hours that I began to love them again. My point is this. You don't want to be a... I believe there's not a person in here that wants to be a normal Christian, because this is not a normal church. This is the way church should be. What we're being taught is the way church should be taught. But you're here because you want more of Jesus, according to truth. My friends, I'm telling you, now's our time. Now's our time. The day is at hand, right here, right now. This country is in turmoil. It is in absolute turmoil. In case you don't know it, Satan is doing a heck of a job dividing this country in half with racism. He's doing a heck of a job. And I love what my sister, Miss Callie Pearl, said this morning. It shocked me to read comments by respected people that I respected on Facebook. The comments and the racism dialogue that they had, it blew me away. Satan is doing a heck of a job dividing this country in half. What do you think about the Trayvon Martin? You know what? I wasn't there. Three people know the truth. God the Father, the young man that's dead, and George Zimmerman. Only them three know the truth. What do you think about it? I don't have an opinion. I was not there, my friends. All I know, that a young man is dead. I was. Whose side were you on? On justice's side. On justice's side. My prayer was that justice would be served. Was it? I don't know. But I know we got to go on as a people. I know we got to go on. We've got to go on. As Christians, we cannot enter that dialogue of racism. We can't enter it. We can't enter it. The pastor didn't even mention it this morning. We can't. Let's stay away from it. Because we give the devil ammunition and fire to continue this assault on our country about racism. Your mind can change with this book right here. These 66 love books. It's all before us, my friends. It's all before us. We no longer walk in the flesh, but we walk in the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, goodness, etc., etc. If you're born again, you know what I'm making reference to. Let's do something about ourselves. Let's be young men and women of God, young, that walk in the love of God. What is the love of God? Obeying the instruction from within. Walking in the sufferings of Christ. Saying no to some of the things that we want to do, but we still love him enough to not do them. It's easy not to sin when you don't feel like sinning. Is it? That's easy. It's easy to feel good about God when you feel good. It's easy not to sin when you don't feel like sinning. It's another thing to sin when sin is badgering your mind. You can still stand firm in the spirit and say, I won't bow to you. I might feel like bowing down to you. 90% of me wants to bow down to this lust of the flesh, but I still stand firm in my conviction, and I bow to you, Lord Jesus Christ, that although everything in me wants to do this damnable thing, I'm not going to do it, and I bow my heart to you, Lord. Now, that's a form of righteousness, but God's perfect will is for you to spend hours, hours worshiping, reading your Bible, praying in the Spirit, and getting rid of that temptation inside of you. I'm telling you, my friends, you'll come to a place, if you do not stop, that the thing that has you now, slowly but surely, it'll be eradicated. Like a beautiful lawn that has a beautiful green floritan lawn that's beautiful and green, but it has weeds. Has weeds in it. A guy down by Highlands got the most beautiful grass in the world. I'm going to go spin out in his yard because it's so pretty and my grass is ugly. He has people that are pulling weeds out one by one. And he did it enough. And he fertilized enough and put a weed killer on that lawn that all you see now is green grass. People on their knees pulling out the little weeds, and now his grass is so beautiful, but it didn't happen overnight. It was a process. Years of pulling out the weeds, years of fertilizing it and doing what he had to do. This isn't going to happen overnight, but it starts today. Getting that junk out of your life by allowing the third person of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, to get that junk out of you, man. By allowing God's word that's holy and undefiled to transform your thought process. But you can't do it by thinking about it. There has to be an action behind it. Sit your little keister down. Start out 10 minutes a day. Join Alex on what days, Alex? Thursdays, in case there's a Five Links meeting anyway. Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays. That slipped, Alex. I didn't mean to tell Pastor you canceled prayer because of a business. Did I say that, Ashton? The great apostle, Alex. Monday, Tuesdays, and sometimes on Thursdays. No, Mondays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays, Alex gathers here with a trailer load of people to pray. Right, Alex? Trailer load of people to pray. I guarantee you come two of those nights a week or three nights and you sit there and do what he asks you to do. You begin to pull the weeds, and that lawn will be beautiful. But you got to do something, my friends. You got to do something. Don't stay the way that you are. Don't stay the way that you are. Do something in the Spirit. And if we do something in the Spirit and we walk in the Spirit, then society will say, whoa, that bunch is different. I want what Renee has. I want what Barbara has. I want it. Man, that Alex walked by me today just talking about this man named Jesus. He walked right by me and a conviction consumed me. Alex didn't judge me in my sin. He knew what I was doing. He walked in so much love and he walked by me and he told me he loved me and something to me, I wanted to weep because I wanted what Alex has. That's what Jesus Christ is after. I am for ministering the gospel. I told a little girl today, ministered to a girl today in McDonald's. Even after she forgot my ketchup, I still ministered to her. You got the ketchup in here? Yes, sir. No ketchup in here. God loves you. Even if you forgot my ketchup and my salt. But God's looking for people that walk in his love and his authority. and in the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. That's what he's looking for. He's not looking for dads like me. And I'm done. For real. Like, yeah, I gotta. This is what he's after. This is gonna sound minute to you. It's gonna sound comical to you, but he's after this in my life. My sons played, Elijah played baseball on the Bell. We lost. Our baseball team always loses anyway. Before the game, it was senior night in La Belle, senior night, and the announcer said something about all the La Belle seniors. And of course, you know, me being the spiritual man that I am, walking in the spirit, you know me, I don't walk in the flesh. Well, one kid, his highlight of his four-year career in La Belle was that he hit 7 home runs. Hey, I clapped, you know. One of them was he stole 3 bases in a game. Hey, I clapped. One of them was that the highlight of his career, Pastor Prof, was that he ran over a catcher. Well, my son plays catcher. I took exception to that comment. So I stood up out of my lawn chair. Oh, yes. But this is what the Lord's after in my life. And my son is pretty strong in the weight room, and he's pretty good middle linebacker, played fullback. Oh, yeah? I got a catcher. You're going over right there, mister. Run over him. Run over anyone or run over somebody. And then I forgot that I was Pastor Homer, so I sat back down, and I crossed my legs. Unfortunately, my friends, that's a true story. Lo and behold, Pastor Bronk, the kid whose highlight was he ran over a catcher was in third base at the end of the game, and he had to slide at home. Guess who had the ball at home plate? The catcher. Do you know what my son, I'm going to tell on him. The kid came and slid, and he saw the big catcher there, and the kid shriveled up, and he got scared because that's a big catcher. And Elijah said, Dad, I was ready for him to slide. But that, you know what, that's minute and it's comical, but that's got to go in my life. That's got to go. The kid was scared, but that's got to go. It's got to go. And it's going to go. Slowly, but it's going to go. God's not after perfection, he's after holiness, my friends. Join me on this walk. And join me on Wednesday nights at 7 o'clock. Join me on Fridays at 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock here. Sometimes we have services on Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. I urge you, come on Sunday mornings, man. Come on Sunday mornings. If you can't make Sunday night, come Sunday morning. Pastor said this morning, if you can't come Sunday night, come Sunday morning, come Sunday night. Come one of those 2 days. Sunday morning has been spectacular. Awesome teachings. They leave you mesmerized. You're like this. I didn't mean to want my son to beat up that kid. I didn't want it, Lord. Right here, buddy. Not in the pink pen, but it's all right here. It's all found in him. Amen. When they get up here. Guys, we shared a laugh. We shared sincerity. We shared truth. Now let's give God some gratitude. Let's give him some praise. Let's give him some worship and thank him for the hours that are ahead of us, for the sleepless nights that are ahead of us, because we're going to just spend the night with him, allowing his word to so saturate us, allowing his spirit to exhort us, comfort us, and to edify us. We're going to change every single one of us in him, and we're going to bring our God glory, not in word, but in love and in power and in demonstration of the kingdom of God. That's what he's after, my friends. He's after believers that love him and that live their life out of the inward witness. That's what he's after. So before we go home tonight, let's just, a couple of songs. Let's just give him praise tonight like we never have. Amen? Worship you, Jesus.
Use me, Father. My life is not my own, Lord. It belongs to you and you alone, Father. The day that I gave myself to you, Father. The day that I declared you my Lord and my Savior, Father. We worship you, we magnify you tonight, Father. We love you, Jesus. We just thank you for your faithfulness, Father, and your kindness, Father. We thank you for the compassion. We glorify you, Jesus. You're so worthy, Jesus. There's none like you, Lord. None like you, Jesus. Thank you for my salvation, Lord. Thank you for being my Savior, Jesus. Thank you for everything, Lord Jesus.